It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. You live it up the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
Hey, relax. All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground balls. It's more democratic.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com, brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV, DirecTV. We are taped in front of a live studio audience. Boop, 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 boom, boop, 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 boop. We're not in Al's Diner.
No.
Or Al's. Whatever the heck that
whatever
was.
Whatever it was, yeah.
Happy days. Anyway, it's Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma from the Fortress of Solitude, which is my office here in lovely, scenic Stamford, Connecticut. Welcome, everyone. It's time to talk a little Yankees baseball. And first thing we have on our plate, Joe, we have kind of a four-course meal here.
Yes.
And the appetizer is Mariano Rivera. Now,
I know we've had a discussion about this.
We have. I sent you a text.
And I sent you one right back.
Yes, you did. Here's the thing. This is what scared me about Mariano Rivera. And I use scared very lightly. But that pitch he threw to Bobby Abreu, before any of the quote-unquote experts called it a flat cutter, I said on my couch to myself, because no one in my house watches baseball but me, veiled shot at my wife. But I said, wow, that was really flat.
Yes.
And Abreu, who has been absolutely awful in the month of July and August so far, destroyed that pitch.
Now, mind you, he had also hit a home run earlier in that game, and balls have been flying out of Yankee Stadium.
I gotcha, but the way he was able to turn on that pitch and get it out of there, it just looked like, you know, Mo is this immortal. He is. Regardless of what kind of fan you are, he's kind of like the Michael Jordan
right thing.
You know, you hate him, but you have to respect him and what he's done for so long.
Mm-hmm. And my argument to you is that Mo always goes through this swoon throughout the year. He always, everybody always says, well, has age finally caught up with him? Looking for the demise of Mariano Rivera. And I'm saying that those claims by many people on Twitter, by many writers, by many in the media, is completely unwarranted.
Well, the writers are trying to get people
right.
to read
now,
their columns, which is, you know,
I've caught myself in the past saying, wow, that was a really flat pitch that Mo just threw right there that, you know, went out of the yard. Now, an argument was made to me, not only by you, but by Mike Medvin, who we both know, and he said, well, you know, it's the home runs that's concerning. Okay, well, you know, he's given up 3 home runs this year, 2 in this stretch. He only gave up 2 last year, but he gave up 7 home runs in 2009.
I remember that.
So the home, and by the way, that season he gave up those 7 home runs and ended up with a 1.76 ERA. Coming into this stretch, Chris, he had a 1.70 ERA with 29 saves. From April 27th to August 5th, he went 31.2 innings, allowing just 5 earned runs for a 1.42 ERA and allowing only 1 home run. Over these last 3 games, 2.2 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, the 2 home runs, as we know. There is a basis for what I'm saying.
Okay.
The swoon happens every year, sometimes multiple times during the year.
Well, let's go through that.
Okay.
This year, we're talking Mo consecutive appearances giving up earned runs now.
And I'm going even further than you.
Okay. I'm just going to rip through these really fast, and you give me what you got. April 19th and 24th, and, of course, August 7th, 9th, and 11th. Last year, he just had one stretch, and it was in September, the 19th, 20th, and 26th.
And you're wrong on that one.
I am?
From May 16th to May 18th, he had 3 appearances where he went 2 1/3, giving up 3 earned runs and a home run.
But they were back-to-back?
There were 3. He had one decent outing in between. He had one good outing, in between, but he had two of three are pretty bad.
But I'm talking about, you know, in a row.
Right, and what I'm saying is just because it's in a row doesn't mean that he hasn't gone through multiple swoons during a season.
I hear you humming, but I'm going with the appearances because that's what just happened.
From September 11th to the 26th last year in six appearances, 5.2 innings pitched, six earned runs, 9.53 ERA, one home run. And on May 16th to May 18th, he had the two innings where he had three earned runs.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going with that.
2009, the 24th and 29th of April. 2008, the 1st and the 5th of July. And the 12th and 15th of August. I know he's had other stretches.
April 24th to May 7th last year. Five games, 4.1 innings pitched, four earned runs allowed.
He was bad.
Yeah.
He was bad.
I'm sorry, five earned runs allowed, four home runs allowed.
I think it gets magnified, Joe. You know, at the beginning of the season, nothing hits me with Mariano Rivera because you're a closer, and of course the ERA is going to be bulky if you give up a couple of runs. Your innings aren't up there yet.
Right.
The thing that scares people, I think, is the fact that, you know, coupled with, you know, you have two sure things on this team. Like death and taxes, you have CC Sabathia and Mariano Rivera. So when one of those things doesn't work, or in the last week, both of those things didn't work.
Right.
People are going to start, you know, flipping things over on their desk, looking for the panic button, you know, because the Staples button, that was easy, isn't around with these two the past week.
I can understand what you're saying.
I think that's how people are putting it into perspective.
If there wasn't a basis, though, if there wasn't a basis where Mariano was just the perfect closer and he showed that he was a robot and didn't have stretches like this, like I'm saying, one of his best seasons, he gave up four home runs in a four-inning span. I mean, he's human. It happens.
And he still has 30 saves this year.
And he still has 30 saves. And he's still the best closer in the league.
Yeah.
My whole thing is if there wasn't a basis for it, I can understand hitting the panic button.
Well,
I'm hearing this is what's bothering me. I'm hearing people say...
This is on Twitter?
This is... No, MYSnetwork.com,
too.
Oh,
okay.
Someone said, I think it's time, now that we have legitimate closer options behind Mariano and D-Rob and Soriano, I think it's time to give Mo more rest between outings. I'm sorry. If Mariano Rivera is healthy and available...
He pitches.
He's only pitched 45 innings this year.
I completely agree with you.
I'm sorry, but you're wrong.
I can't argue.
You're wrong.
I can't.
I'm not saying you're right.
I know. I can't argue with you there. I can't. How could you shut him down if he's healthy?
He says he's healthy. You have to take him at his word. He's the greatest closer in the history of baseball.
Joe Girardi said, somebody asked him, when are you going to start worrying about Mo? And Joe said, if he does this for a month.
Yeah.
And guess what? He's not going to do it for a month.
This is three appearances.
I know this is the guy you're talking about. He came in. He gave up the three-run shot to Russell Branyan, who was 0-for-5 with four strikeouts against him. And even Branyan said, for a three-game stretch, he's never seen Mo get hit that way. You're still talking about a guy who didn't fold like a cheap suit. He gave up that home run.
And he got the save.
Look,
was it the optimal save? No, it wasn't something.
But he still got it.
He got
the save. Yankees won the game. And that's Mo's attitude. And that's, you know, everything else that scares you about what's happened in the past three outings with Mariano Rivera should be put to bed when you watch the post game and see how much it doesn't affect this guy. Because he knows, listen, if Mariano Rivera is confident in his stuff, then I don't have anything to worry
about. And what's funny about it is, in the postgame, he said, I didn't miss my spot. I didn't. I hit my spot. He just got aggressive, jumped on the first pitch, and guessed right. He guessed right. That's all it is. And for people that say, well, his arm strength, well, that's another thing. Maybe his arm strength is... That's where the age is catching up with him. I have an argument to that, too. Mo was throwing 91-92 yesterday, okay? Even in his best stretch, like I said, from April 27th to August 5th, he was throwing 91-92. So, to me, the argument is unwarranted. When we start to see Mo go through a really, really awful stretch for a really, really long time... Yeah, then it's time to get concerned. But I'm sorry, but people calling out for D-Rob to start getting more closing situations and Soriano to get more closing situations.
And if you ask David Robertson or even Rafael Soriano, they would laugh in your face.
It's ridiculous.
They would laugh.
He's a human
in your face.
Being.
Okay, let's move on. Okay. We had a touch on it.
Okay.
Because it's being talked about. But yeah. We definitely had a touch on it. And, you know, we only get to do this once a week.
Right.
So we get to load up our guns a long time.
Yeah.
Before we start firing. The other sure thing on this team, CeCe Sabathia. Okay. Let's go the good. 16-6. Cy Young candidate, definitely.
100%.
Almost threw a perfect game against the Mariners. Now, the Mariners are, you know, the least run-scoring team in the league, only worse than the Angels. I'm talking
right.
about the American League. The Mariners dead last, but still.
He's a workhorse.
They are major league hitters, and he almost threw a perfect
right.
game. And I was there, and that would have been my second perfect game because I saw David Wells.
Right.
He has dominated the, I don't want to say complete lesser teams because he's thrown some good outings against good teams as well. But if you take the Red Sox, Tigers, and Rangers out of the mix.
Playoff contenders. The teams that right now.
Right
they,
now
the
are
Yankees,
the division leaders.
Right. They would The Yankees
and
would have to deal with.
Right.
Right.
You take them out of the mix against everyone else that CeCe Sabathia has faced this year. He's 14-1 with a 1.43 ERA. Okay?
Okay.
Against the Red Sox, Tigers.
Pretty impressive.
Yes. Against the Red Sox. And the one loss was to the Rays, who he's facing tonight.
And that was the James Shields game.
Right, which was.
Where it was a pitcher's duel.
Yes,
so
it was.
You can't even say that
it
CeCe.
Was a two, no, it was a 2-1 game. It
yeah.
was a wash.
You can't even say that CeCe
right.
pitched a bad game. Okay.
So he might, you know, if the Yankees scratch and claw get another couple runs, he might be 15-0, and the ERA might be a little bit less. Now, the Red Sox, Tigers, and Rangers, as my co-host so aptly pointed out, all the division leaders
right.
in the American League and who the Yankees would have to contend with. CeCe, against these three teams, has started 9 games, 4 against the Red Sox, 2 against the Tigers, 3 against the Rangers.
And we all know the Red Sox, the 0-4 stat.
Right.
You know, the 7 ERA.
In those 9 games against these three playoff clubs, CeCe is 2-5 with an ERA of 5.80, just under 6.
That's unbelievable.
Now, against the Red Sox, he's 0-4, we know, with the 7.2 ERA. He's 0-2 at Fenway, and his ERA is over 6.
Yeah, and as you said,
this is your ace.
He's
okay.
given up 37 earned runs in 57.1 innings against those three teams, 20 earned runs in 125.3 innings against everybody else.
This is the ace. Now, I'm not saying CeCe Sabathia is not an ace. I'm just saying against these teams that are, right now, if the season ended today, are going to the playoffs, he hasn't had a lot of success against them.
Right.
He is, in 2 starts against Detroit, he's 0-1 with a 4.15 ERA. In 3 starts, excuse me, against the Rangers, he's 2-0, but his ERA is 5.12. He's given up, 11 runs in 19 innings?
19 innings.
Against
yeah.
the Rangers?
Yeah.
So, listen, the Rangers could hit. I know that. But, you know, in a playoff situation, especially in a 5-game series.
You need the ace to come up big in game 1.
You need CeCe Sabathia to come up big in
yeah.
game 1. Because when you make that transfer to game 2, and that's where we're going next, CeCe was just a nice little tee to put a ball on to get to the next subject.
Again, from my perspective, I'm just saying there is reason to be concerned there.
Yeah.
Especially against the Red Sox.
Absolutely.
But you know, again, in CeCe we trust. The guy in 2009 came up big in the playoffs against a lot of big opponents.
Joey, if the Yankees don't have this guy, they don't have that World Series ring.
I agree.
And they're not in the position they are in right now.
Right. So
because
a Yankee fan, you got to
right.
say in CeCe we trust.
Well, yeah.
Right.
When he needs to come up big, he usually does.
Right.
This was just a way, listen, to point out maybe a flaw, a chink in his armor. Okay? But it's only one, because God knows he's been everything else to this team this year.
Yeah.
But it was just a way to set this up.
Right.
Okay? Playoffs.
Playoffs.
Say the unthinkable happens, Jim Mora. Say CeCe drops game 1 in a 5-game series.
Yeah.
To the Rangers.
Detrimental.
To the Rangers. Because the Tigers are going to play the Red Sox.
Well, I was just going to say, if the Yankees win the division, then they play the Tigers, and it's Verlander versus CeCe in game one.
Yeah.
That's
scary.
Very scary.
Scary. Okay, so game two. Is it AJ?
No.
Let's start breaking it down, shall we? AJ, okay. Last seven games since his last win on June 29th, Joey, 42 innings.
Yes.
0-3 record.
Yes.
Yankees in those seven starts, 3-4.
Not very good.
Batting average against .277. ERA, even .6.
Oof.
For Burnett. That's his last seven starts. Bartolo Colon.
Who's not been great of late.
Last seven games, 2-3. Yankees are 4-3 in those games.
Mm-hmm.
Pitched 35 1/3. Batting average against .306.
League is starting to catch up.
ERA.
Fastball notice is coming down.
A little
too.
Bit. A little bit. ERA 4.33.
And maybe what I said originally earlier in the season, that maybe winter ball is starting to catch up
to
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, and the Yankees' plan at the beginning of the season, let's not forget, was to keep this guy in the bullpen so they could have him at the end of the season. Then he got so good in the rotation.
I am not killing Bartolo, though. He's been absolutely tremendous for the Yankees.
He has been.
But he has not been great of late. He's not been great.
And like you said, maybe it's catching up to him. Who knows? Freddie Garcia, who's been one of the most consistent starters for the Yankees this year, had a couple of explosions, but he's the fifth starter.
Right.
Okay, last seven games. Not bad. Not bad. 4-1.
Yeah.
Yankees are 4-3.
Right.
43 1/3, .281 batting average against.
He's going to give up hits.
ERA under .3, .291.
That's great. See, that's great. He's been good.
Okay.
He's been good.
Phil Hughes.
And he pitched well against the Red Sox, by the way.
Yes. Phil Hughes, six games since coming off the DL. 2-3. Yankees are 3-3. 27 2/3. .300 batting average against, and an ERA of over 4.5. It's 4.55. However, we should say, in the rain, shortened wind in Chicago, his last start.
He looked good.
He looked good. Six innings, three hits, no runs, four Ks, no walks.
It's a big outing.
And the walks have been
his. He needed to have a big
bugaboo.
Outing, and he stepped up to the plate and had a big outing. And let me just say, too, that we're talking about, you know, Yankees wins leaders. And, you know, we hear from the peanut gallery, too, that, oh, you know, anybody can get 10 wins on this team. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. CeCe Sabathia's got 16 wins. Freddie Garcia's got 10 wins. Ivan Nova's got 11 wins.
And that's where we're going next.
Right.
Ivan Nova. Last eight games, and I did eight games for him because he's been on a tear. 52 1/3, 7-0. Yankees are 8-0. Yankees are undefeated in his last eight games he's took the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Batting average against, by far the best out of any of these guys, .232. His ERA, 3-1-0. Little worse than Freddie Garcia, but very.
That's excellent.
Very respectable.
That's excellent.
Use the word worse there lightly. 3-1-0 is tremendous.
Yeah. In the American League East? My God.
Yes. So, game two. Who's your game two starter, Joe?
Ivan Nova. Right now. Right now. He's my game
right
two starter.
Right now, it's CeCe.
It's funny because...
And it's Nova.
And they sent this guy down to the minors, too. They sent him to Scranton. And he had eight wins when they sent it to Scranton. And all he's done since he came back... is win three more games since his return, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Since his return from Scranton, Pennsylvania. His ERA has gone from 4.12 to 3.85. He's 3-0 in three starts. 20.2 innings pitched, 17 hits, only six earned runs, a walk to strikeout ratio, four walks, 16 strikeouts.
Is that a whip?
And his ERA is 2.61 since returning. 2.61. And don't forget, in the last start that he had, the six innings, three earned runs, he kind of got gassed at the end and gave up. Those two earned runs came at the end. The game was in hand. I felt like they had the win there. But he gave up those two earned runs late.
All right, well, let me ask you this. So right now, Nova's your game two starter in the playoffs. And I have to agree with you 100%. Here's my other question.
Yeah.
Joe Girardi wants to get back to a five-man rotation. Who's the odd man out?
A.J. Burnett. for me, it's A.J. Burnett.
Does he go to the bullpen?
You know what?
See, now, I
my whole thing is, and I'm kind of, you know, taking Jack Harry's coattails
here. What's he going to do in the bullpen?
Jack Harry made a great point.
I read it.
Jack Harry said, you benched Jorge Posada.
Posada, I was going
to
go there.
Because he was detrimental to the team. Here, when you put Jorge Posada, you're not putting the best lineup out there nightly anymore. Mm-hmm. You're not. He hasn't been good. You continue to put A.J. Burnett out there in the rotation, but when you put A.J. Burnett in the rotation, that is not your best starting five.
No.
It's not. Those other guys have pitched better, and even though Colon hasn't pitched great, he certainly pitched better than A.J.
What you would hope for now, okay, is the next time Hughes takes the mound, he continues to progress to what he was last year.
Right.
Listen,
and again,
I know he gave up
Hughes,
a lot of runs
Hughes
last
kinda was
year.
A, look, he had
got
the,
a lot of run support.
Right.
I get it. But Hughes needs to give you six innings consistently where he gives you a shot to win ball games. If he gives you quality outings, which by definition is six innings and three earned runs, and he gives you a chance to win, that's all you could ask out of him. So if you have CeCe, Nova, and Hughes with Colon and Garcia in the background.
Right.
I think that's where you're going right now. I just, you know, I try to stick up for A.J. Burnett. I tried to stick up for him in spring training. I tried to stick up for him halfway through the season. The guy has electric stuff. I just don't know how you could throw the ball 95 miles an hour with a wicked hook, and he's gone away from his changeup.
Yeah.
A pitch that was working for him in the beginning of the season, and I don't know where it went.
I don't know, and that was something that he said he had confidence in, that Russell Martin was
calling I thought was calling
Martin
was going to be the difference this year with him, throwing that changeup and as his out pitch. And, you know, he's throwing a lot of meatball curveballs, Joe, that just – this is what he's getting killed on in those – you know, it's only one inning. Yeah, but he gives up four runs. It's not like it's one inning and he gives up a run or two.
Yeah.
He totally implodes.
And my whole thing, Chris, is that we're also giving Hughes a huge benefit of the doubt here, by the way.
No, we are.
Because it really is one good outing. The outing before...
Joe, I get it. You know, I'm not saying Hughes is going
to
be...
To me, I'm looking at the top four. The top four right now are CeCe, Nova,
Colon,
Garcia.
Yeah.
That's your top four.
It is.
And then it's... From there, who knows? And maybe they'll go with Hughes back to the bullpen because he's got the bullpen experience. But again, I think with AJ in the rotation, you're not putting your best rotation. And it's funny because I heard a lot of AJ.
Yeah, but what's Hughes doing in the bullpen?
No, and I agree.
He's got
I agree. And
he's not doing David Robertson or Rafael Soriano's job.
My whole thing is people that were sticking up for AJ the other day were saying, well, he hasn't had a lot of bad outings this year. Yeah, but he hasn't had a lot of good outings. And going back even past the stretch where the winless stretch, you know, since his, you know, 4-2 start, okay, he's, this is going back to May 16th. May 16th to now. 16 starts, he's 4-7. The team is 7-9. It's not giving him a great chance to win. 98 innings pitched, 57 earned runs, 90 strikeouts, 48 walks.
Yeah, the walks, I said it earlier.
16 home runs allowed.
Yeah.
16 home runs and a 5.23 ERA. So you're saying that stretch, well, he hasn't had a lot of
that. What are Ian Kennedy's numbers?
I'm sorry. Yeah, well, that too. That, I mean, that started on May 16th with 6 earned runs and 5.2 innings. But you're looking at, you know, a stretch here. 5.2 innings, 7 earned runs. 4 earned runs and 6 in the third. 4 earned runs and 7. You know, those earned runs add up.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, you're right. So right now, we're in agreement. It's CeCe, Nova, Colon, Garcia.
Yeah.
It might even be Garcia, Colon right now.
Yeah.
The way Freddie's pitching.
I think they would go with, if it were me, because, you know, Nova has missed more bats lately. Mm-hmm. He has. But I think they would go power with CeCe, Nova with a 2, who's a power finesse guy. His fastball's been up there, man. I mean, he's thrown some pretty hard fastballs lately, and that slider's been a great pitch for him. I think they would go back to the power with Cologne as the three, and then the finesse guy as your four, knowing that CeCe's right behind him again. I think that's what they would do. And you brought up Ian Kennedy. I'm just going to bring those numbers up.
I had to, just to, for all of our fans listening, just to have them cringe.
And again, he's in the NL West.
He is in the NL West, but you know what?
He's been great.
Everybody got on the kid for saying, I pitched well, even though he gave up eight runs.
He's 14-3 this year with a 3.20 ERA.
That's pretty good. Kay. It's pretty good NFL season.
Yeah. Since starting 1-1, where he had a 9 earned run outing in 3 innings. He had a 9 on April 13th, 9 earned runs. Since then.
That's going to happen early in the
season. Since then.
Since then.
He is 13-2.
Right.
Yeah, his batting average against 2.22.
Yeah.
His ERA, he's given up 45 earned runs in 146.1
innings. How many times has he faced the Padres?
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Dodgers, the Giants.
He's got his last three wins. Padres, Giants, Dodgers. He beat Milwaukee, which is a big hitting team.
That's a good win.
He beat the Dodgers, beat the Cardinals.
That's a good win.
Lost to Oakland. Bad outing against Oakland.
That's a bad loss.
But again, you know, he's been good.
All right. So, listen, the playoffs aren't too far away.
Playoffs?
Jim Mora just stopped in my office again for some reason. We're going to football next, Jim. Just relax. Just a quick little NFL segment after a short break. But here, I'm just going to wrap up this Yankee thing with a quick thought, and then Joey could as well. The playoffs are right around the corner, all right? There, you know, you hear that Montero might come up. You hear that Bañuelos might come up. I'm just going on record right now. I completely disagree with putting Bañuelos in the bullpen as another lefty guy.
I completely
disagree.
Give him the rest of this year in the minors. Give him the rest of this year in AAA. Let him mature a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't, especially in the playoffs. You're going to bring a 20-year-old kid? That's going to be your other lefty out of the bullpen? What about Steve Garrison? You know, you have other options. Keep the kid a starter. If you want, let him come up and let him get a couple of starts in the major leagues. Don't throw him in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Happened with Jabba Chamberlain. Happened with Phil Hughes. Don't do it to Manny Bañuelos. That's all I'm saying. Okay? And with the playoffs right around the corner, listen, the Yankees are going to be in the playoffs. They're 8 games right now. Ahead of the Angels in the wild card. They're only a game
behind
the Red Sox.
They're only
a game behind the Red Sox for the division as we taped this on Friday, as the Yankees start a 3-game set, the last 3-game set of this homestand against the Rays. I just think playoffs are a certainty, but once you get there,
right?
Don't
mess with the kid.
Yeah. And as far as the Yankees go, they're going to have to figure out their rotation sooner rather than later. You know, we're coming up on like a month and a half left in the season.
Got to line it up.
And they're in a stretch right now of 30 games in 30 days. So, and that doesn't end until September 8th when they get a day off. So they're going to have to really figure this out.
By the way.
And start lining people up.
You talked about Manny Bañuelos. Not coming up. One guy I think they should call up is Jesus Montero.
They have to.
I think it's time. The kid is hitting the cover off the ball right now. I mean, he's been amazing.
I think he has a sense that it's going to be September 1st, and maybe he's turning it on.
I don't know if it's going to be September 1st. I think it might be sooner than that.
Well,
I think it might be sooner.
They need bench help. They really do. And Lord knows if Eric Chavez is going to stay healthy.
And like I said, I don't know if it's going to even be bench help. I think he might be the everyday DH of this team at one point.
We'll see.
In fact, in the playoffs, I'm mark it down.
Okay.
If he comes up before, I think he is the DH in the playoffs.
All right. I don't have to mark it down. I can remember.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we are going. That's a bold statement, by the way. That's why we do this podcast, man. We put ourselves out there. We're not afraid either. Not afraid of any of you. Any of you.
Put them up.
Anyway, when we come back, we're going to give our... I know it's, you know, the Jets and Giants are going to play their first preseason game this weekend, but I figured it would be fun to go through the schedules of both teams and give our
predictions.
Predictions, win and loss predictions for the Jets and Giants. And we come back to the Off the Wall podcast brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV, DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. We're back right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the two-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast, brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV, DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Joe Auriemma, Chris Sheeran from the Fortress of Solitude here in Stamford, Connecticut. That is my office in the palatial Yes building we have.
And it's Jarrell and Kalel doing the show.
It's the Lels coming at you. Time to do a little pigskin predictions, a little prognostication, if you will, on the Giants and Jets. We're going to start with Big Blue. Jerry Reese apparently guaranteed the playoffs for a team that really didn't make any moves in free agency. The Eagles, you know, made the most noise.
And Prince broke his foot. So
Their first-round draft pick broke his foot, and he's probably lost for the season.
Probably.
They got a new left tackle in Will Beatty, who will be protecting Eli Manning's blind side.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there, but...
We'll see how that shakes out.
And the 49ers.
Yeah,
they actually said he's better than Sean O'Hara.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it all comes together.
It's all about gelling.
Yes, the first time we get to see these guys will be on, actually tomorrow, Saturday, the 13th, yes.
Yeah.
And they faced the Carolina Panthers.
They lost Kevin Boss. They lost Steve Smith.
Yeah, it's at Carolina. Right. Steve Smith is an Eagle, too, by the way. And it's a lot of he said, he said.
Yeah, the Giants are saying they were told that they were going to get a chance to match.
And they never got that chance.
And so, Steve Smith is saying that never happened.
Right. And Chris Carter was on Mike and Mike saying that all these guys want to play with the Michael Vick experience. When they were growing up, you know, they bought his shoes and they had the video games and now they want to play with him. So, all right, whatever. Go for it.
Meanwhile, he's 2 years older than them. Yeah. Thanks, Chris Carter.
Anyway, week one at Washington. For me, that's a win.
I'm calling it a win.
All right.
Win.
Week two.
You're marking this down. We got this. Okay.
You mark yours down. I know.
Yeah,
okay. Whatever. Week two, St. Louis at home. Win. 2-0.
I'm going to say win, but I'm reluctantly saying win.
Okay.
Because I think Spags is going to have that team a little bit better this year.
Okay.
And Bradford's a little bit better.
I just think it's a home game. It's their first home game.
I agree.
So I'm putting that
But as we've seen in the past, that doesn't
Trust
mean
me.
Anything.
Week three at the Link.
Loss.
And L for Lincoln Financial and L for loss. 2-1. Then after they go to Philly, they go out to Arizona, take on
Kevin Cobb.
The Cobb man, and I'm giving them a win there.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a win.
3-1. Then they come back home.
Seattle.
For two games.
Awful.
Before their bye, they'll beat the Seahawks.
Yeah.
4-1.
We got the same thing so far.
They'll beat the Bills. 5-1. So they'll be 5-1 at the bye, according to both of us. Then they come back from the bye.
The funny
still
thing
at
is,
home.
We're saying that, and I still think we're overshooting it. I think they're going to have a bad loss somewhere.
Yeah, well,
I think the Arizona game is scaring me.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody could cover Larry Fitzgerald. To tell you the truth,
that Arizona game is scaring me.
Yeah, but Kevin Cobb, I just don't
look pretty decent.
He looked okay.
I'm just saying it could be. We're saying 5-1. I think we're overshooting. I think it might be a 4-2.
It might be a 4-2.
Okay.
I'm saying 5-1 because trust me, it's going to get worse.
Well,
Dolphins after the bye.
Tony Soprano comes back to Jersey.
Sparano.
Yes,
but,
I know.
Okay. I'm giving him a win. 6-1.
Okay, I'll give him a win as well. I'm really going out on a limb here.
The pressure sets in because they're going to go to Gillette Stadium to play the Patriots, and they are going to get absolutely destroyed. That's when reality is going to set in on this Giants team.
Yeah, we both have a loss there.
Yeah, so what are we up to now?
They're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6-2.
6-2. Then,
which basically sounds kind of like
every
Giant team for the last...
The back end of their schedule is brutal. Then they go to San Francisco, and you know what? I think they're going to bounce back from getting destroyed at New England. They'll beat the 49ers because they still don't have a quarterback. Then they come home.
Which I'm giving them a win as well. But I'm actually going to backtrack real quick.
Okay.
I've thought about it.
Cardinals?
Loss. I'm giving the Cardinals the win there.
All right.
So I'm going to say...
All right.
So we got it.
Home for the Eagles on Sunday night. And boy, around 10:15, you're going to hear the loudest click on the face of the planet. That's everybody changing their channels because the game's going to be over.
Wow. Okay, so we're both giving a loss.
Oh, boy. It's going to be another ugly one. At least I'll get to sleep early before I have to come in and do the sports sprint.
Next week is...
That turkey's not going to go down too well on that Thursday.
So the next Monday night, they got
Eagle fan friends.
After they get killed by the Eagles.
On Sunday night.
They have a full week and a day to go to New Orleans.
To patch up and get drilled again.
And get drilled. We're both Giant fans, the way. Just throwing that out there.
They're going to get... And I'm surprised we're agreeing on all these because we usually don't. But they're going to get drilled in New Orleans.
And wait, they have a short week to prepare and get drilled
by the
Green
Packers
Bay
at home. Then they go to Dallas, and I think they lose that game.
I'm giving them a win.
All right.
The Giants are good in Dallas. I'm going to give them a win.
Yeah, but I just... So I have them losing four in a row. I have them losing to the Eagles, Saints, Packers, and Cowboys.
Okay.
And I know I'm going to hear it if Joe Callow listens to this podcast, by the way. Week 15, who does New York?
The
New York football show with Ross Tucker. That'll be coming back shortly.
Redskins.
That's a win because they're awful.
I agree. Well, not according to Rex Grossman.
Okay, yeah, they're going to be a playoff team.
Okay, the Jets.
I see it. Loss.
You have them as a loss?
I think that game's going to mean more to the Jets than it is to the Giants. Giants at this point are basically going to be playing spoiler. And the Jets are going to need that game.
I just feel like Rex is going to have his team ready to go, so I'm giving them a loss.
And then I think they'll beat the Cowboys in Week 17.
I think they're going to lose at home. I think they're going to win in Dallas and lose at home.
So I have them at 9-7. What do you have them at?
Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
8, 8. 8. 8. All right.
9-7. Wow, I actually have them at a worse record than you. I never thought that was going
to
happen.
Never happened, ever.
Never thought that was going to happen.
Let's see. All right, let's go to the Jets.
And I'll probably get killed by Callow, too, but that's
Whatever.
Just my expectations.
Every year he thinks they're going to the Super Bowl. Anyway, the...
Week one, Dallas.
Open up at home against Dallas.
I'm giving them a win.
Yeah, it's a win. Week two, Jacksonville at home, win, 2-0.
Yeah.
Week three at the Raiders, 3-0.
Win. Wow.
Week four at Baltimore. That's tough.
I'm giving them a win.
And that's a Sunday night game.
Giving them a win.
And then they got New England the next week.
Well, you know what?
I think I have to give them the win there.
Yeah, I think they're going to split it.
4-0.
I think they're going to go 1-1.
And then they're going
to
lose
to
New England.
So I agree.
4-1.
Okay. That I'm in total agreement.
And I think New England and the Jets will both be 4-0 going into that game.
Yeah.
The Dolphins.
Win.
That's a win. 5-1. The Chargers at home.
I'm going loss. That game has loss smell all over it.
5-2. I'll do the same there. Bills win 6-2. Patriots.
They always have trouble in Buffalo, but
but I think they're gonna win. Patriots.
I'm giving them a win.
They win that 7-2.
Yep.
At Denver.
I think they win.
8-2. Buffalo at home, 9-2. Redskins there, 11-2. Kansas City.
I'm giving them a win.
12-2.
Wow.
If that was at Kansas City, I think
they're losing to the Eagles the next week.
Yeah, 12-3. They'll beat the Giants. Actually, wait, I'm off. Where am I? Yeah. I already have them at 12-5. Hold on a second. Where am I going here?
You had the Kansas City game. You said if it was in Kansas City, then I said loss in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. I said the same thing.
Right,
so.
And then we said win at Giants, and then week 17's at Miami.
win.
13-3. Both of us have him at
13-3. All right. So there you have it. Both of us think, and I'm saving this so we know. Now, look, this is just a fun thing. You know, preseason just is going to start this weekend. No injuries have happened, so we're going completely
right
on paper as the season starts. You know what? Just for the heck of it,
mm-hmm,
let's look at the Eagles' schedule since they are the dream team this year.
And do it quick.
We'll do it real quick. Really quick.
And the Patriots.
And the Pats, yeah. Wow, the Eagles website
stinks.
Does stink. All right, here it is. At the Rams.
Win.
At Atlanta.
Loss.
All right, so 1-1. That's a Sunday night game. Giants win.
Win.
San Francisco win. Mm-hmm. At Buffalo win. At Washington win. Bye. Dallas at home win Sunday night. Wow, mm-hmm, they're on primetime a lot.
Chicago, loss.
Chicago, I'm giving them a win.
Oh, they're at home?
It's at home.
Yeah, 7-1.
Arizona at home, win.
8-1.
Giants at home, win.
No, that's Giants at Giants.
Oh, at Giants,
but
win.
I still think they're going to get spanked, yeah.
New England?
Loss.
Yeah, even though it's home, I'm giving them a loss. Seattle?
Win.
Miami?
Win.
Jets?
Loss.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we had them. Oh, no, I had them beating the Jets.
Yeah, I did too.
So, win.
Dallas, at Dallas.
I'm going to give Dallas the win there.
That might be a game that the Eagles don't even need. And Washington's another win.
13-3.
I don't care who's playing.
13-3.
We both have them at 13-3.
Wow, we're agreeing on everything. This
Eagles
is not good.
All right, really quick. Pats, last one.
Just having a little fun here, folks.
I know it was the first preseason game, but yikes.
Yeah, 47-12.
Yikes. Game season schedule. Okay, here we go.
Okay, week one.
That's preseason. All right, week one, Dolphins.
Win.
If I disagree, I'll say it. Week two, Chargers.
Win.
Week three, at Buffalo.
Win.
Week four at Oakland.
Win.
Week five, Jets.
Win.
Week six at home against the Cowboys.
Win.
Week eight at Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Loss. Week nine, Giants win. Week 10, Jets loss.
Yeah, I agree.
Week 11, Kansas City win.
Win.
Week 12, Philadelphia.
We had Philly. Oh, we didn't have Philly. Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we did.
We had them winning.
We had them winning. So 9-2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Colts.
I think the Colts are going to win that game.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't. So you go win, I go loss.
So you're 10-2. Okay.
You're 10-2. I'm 9-3.
No, I have the Colts winning.
Oh, right, right, right. I have them winning. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm 10-2. You're 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
Redskins win. Broncos win. Dolphins win. Bills win. 14-2 for me.
And I've got him at 13-3.
All right. Pats. 14-2 me. 13-3 Joe. All right. There you have it. That's the Off the Wall podcast for this week. Hope you enjoyed our nonsense and hijinks and hilarity from the Fortress of Solitude. My office here in Stamford, Connecticut.
Before we go.
Yes.
We might still have something lined up.
No, we are.
Four.
We are. We're doing it somewhere. Bar A, Martell's. I actually just got a text from my cousin. He said Michael Kay's doing his yearly trek to the Tiki Bar at Martell's down in Point Pleasant. He said it's time for you to take the podcast on the road and do it live. So
okay. So, yeah, I'm thinking maybe Bar A because we, you know.
We got the connection there. Hopefully my buddy Johnny B will get back to
we'll
me.
Have some prizes.
We'll have yes giveaways.
Yeah. So
maybe some tickets.
I think we got to start promoting it this week. Let's promote it, baby. Let's
all right,
go.
Let's get it on the website and let's start doing it.
Okay.
You heard it. Our 100th episode of Off the... Oh, my God. I've seen your ugly face 100 times in this office.
Yeah, you know it.
Oh, my God almighty. Anyway, Wow, I've been staring at the back of this Yankee schedule that I got from Yes this whole season.
And we have about a month and a half, not even a month.
And where did I go for lunch today? Subway. And I get a free sub with this coupon, and I haven't redeemed it yet. I am a moron. And that's how we'll end things this week on the Off the Wall podcast, brought to you by DirecTV. Once again, don't just watch TV, DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. For Joe Oriam, I'm Chris Sheeran. We'll see you next week. Later.